about this, huh? Fine folks of this building asked if I just come out here and, you know, do a few windows, this and that.
I need you for a team, Swoop.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, how much to pay?
Nothing.
Nothing.
All your jumps are paid for.
So how about those jumps there, Jess? Are they paid for?
Yeah, they are.
Didn't I just say that to him?
Yeah, but if he hasn't jumped with you, he won't talk to you.
He won't? Well, I am going to have to require a free t-shirt, Jess.
Can we get him a free t-shirt?
Yes, tell him he can have a t-shirt.
Okay, free tee, Swoop, whatever you want.
Yeah!
Swoop! Yeah! Oh,
my lucky day. Here, give me a hand.
Lights, camera, action. Welcome back to another episode of Happy Hour Films. As you all know, I'm Ross Bacon. I'm joined by my co-host Mike McQuing. Mike, say hi.
How's everyone doing?
And as you should know by now, we're two dudes drinking. We talk about movies. Now, we got two movies that are basically the same this week, both of which involve skydiving. And again, these movies came out within months of each other. We'll be talking about Terminal Velocity, and then we're going to be talking about Drop Zone. And I got to tell you, there aren't two more 90s movies than these two, I don't think.
Oh my God. I had a lot of, like, I don't think either's a great movie, but I had a lot of fun watching both.
Oh yeah, absolutely. But before we get into that, though, we got to talk about what we're drinking. So, Mike, what do you got?
All right. So this is going to release not quite March, but almost March. So I'm what?
The Invisible Day.
Yes, if this was not a leap year, it would be March when we release this. So I decided I'm going to start having my Irish for St. Patty's Day.
Okay.
So this week I have Irish Cream Coffee Stout from Black Hog Brewing Company. About 5.5%. Now, I don't usually drink. That's not my thing. I made it pretty clear that I'm not the biggest stout or porter fan.
Yeah.
But I haven't been able to black and tan in a while because of my aversion to drinking one of the crucial ingredients of a black and tan.
The black part. Yeah. How is it?
All right. So, it's not bad. I don't drink coffee, really. That's one of the reasons I don't like porters or stouts, but this does taste like coffee with Irish cream, and if I do drink coffee, I generally like to flavor it with Irish cream, so it for me at that point, I don't think I'd ever choose to drink it if there was a lager or an ale available, just because it's not my thing, but if you like coffee, then I'm going to guess you'll like this.
Nice. Yeah, and I have, the last of my Craft of Six Pack I have, it's from Tired Hands Brewing, and it is Alien Church, which is an Indian Pale Ale, and it is 7.0, which is, I have a little like description here on the website, and it's notes of ripe mango, blueberry gummies, floral lychee, pink grapefruit, and peach rings. I don't taste the blueberry gummies. Like, they're not... It's not there. This tastes like a regular double IPA. Maybe it's because of the citrus and mosaic and Chinook hops. All right. So Mike and I have to strap our parachutes on now, and we have to skydive because skydiving in the 90s was apparently a street gang. If a drop zone is to be believed. But all right, Mike, how are we breaking these down?
Okay, so we're going to do our usual things where we're going to talk about not necessarily the love interest, but the female lead, because they're actually characters in this.
They are. One is a very silly, silly character. The other is an actress. You know, she's an actress that's playing a role.
So we're going to do the feeds, the leads, the bad guy team, and we're going to talk about which bad guy plan is more seriously 90s computer hackers or KGB.
Yeah. I was gonna say we add another one where which one takes skydiving too seriously.
We can do that because I have one more. We'll make it perfect seven. So yeah. So our normal ones: female lead, male lead, lead bad guy teams. Which plan is more hilariously 90s? Like, which group the bad guy kind of falls into, hackers or chins, is hilariously 90s?
Right.
Which one takes skydiving too seriously? And plan seven, because both of these movies draw parallels to a discussion we already had on basically the same. If you add Dominic Toretto to help out Charlie Sheen in Terminal Velocity, and you had Keanu Reeves to help out Drop Zone, which good guy team wins quicker?
I mean, the original hero doesn't really need help in Drop Zone because he is Wesley Snipes, but it would be fun to see these two teamed up. That'd be fun.
That's well, the reason I'm doing the reason this whole thing came up, I was like, wait, you're telling me that Furious was not the first series to try and skydive a car?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of a revelation. But, all right, so where do you want to start?
All right, let's start with talking about the bad guys, because I want to talk about the first scene in Drop Zone, where it's Busey. Was Busey on the first mission, or is he just, where he's like, "You're not listening," bang.
He's on the plane. Yeah, he's definitely on the plane. He's the one that complains that he gets air. He's afraid of flying, so he needs water to take his pills.
That's when he's walking through the plane, like telling everyone to put their heads down. He's listening, shoots the person.
So funny, because even then, like the way that it's like, it's almost like the opposite of Air Force One, where all the guns in Air Force One are in like an armory closet specifically for these guns. All of the guns in Drop Zone are already on the plane because they're behind the tray tables. there's like a pouch behind the tray tables that they just unzip and pull the guns out of. But I have to say this, for Terminal Velocity at least, the writer of it, David Toohey, wrote, this is in between two very opposite ends of your resume, I guess, if you're a Hollywood writer. He did The Fugitive the year before this, which is phenomenally well written.
Yeah.
And he did Waterworld a year after this, which is the opposite of well written.
And this is somewhere in the middle.
This is right in the middle, you know? This is completely insane.
I wouldn't say it's well written, but like, it's got humor and it's fun.
It's like thought out, and it's also a fever dream. Like, there's both ends of it here. But then the rest of this dude's career is nothing but like Chronicles of Riddick. It's pretty insane. But okay, so where are we starting here?
We're starting with hackers versus Russians. Which is the better 90s villain vibe?
I mean, this is kind of tough, because Drop Zone has Michael Jeter as the hacker. But he's basically like a front parachute for one of the skydivers in the team, because he doesn't actually skydive at any point, where everyone else on the team is like a professional skydiving hacker. But then with the Russians in Terminal Velocity, we not only have Natasha Kinski, who you welcome back from Cat People, Natasha. Way to actually be like in an actual movie and not just nude as a cat. But then,
oh yeah, that's a dramatic point against Terminal Velocity, making me remember cat people.
But then we also have James Gandolfini looking young as hell, pretending to be like this stuttering DA dude who's secretly like the KGB leader of this team. And it's, I honestly don't know, because the guys in Drop Zone, the bad guys in Drop Zone, are basically, they're Gary Busey's gang, but they're all like an all-star team of like skydiving criminals, basically. Whereas in Terminal Velocity, they're just KGB members who can skydive. Like, that's about the only difference. And
wait,
I don't know.
Wait, there was something I should have brought in. The better skydiving death, the car or Gary Busey leading the dude into the electrical tower?
Pretty great. Yeah, because there is that whole gimmick in Drop Zone where you can just catch someone's parachute with your feet and be completely in control of them. And then of course there is the, it's not technically a death in Terminal Velocity, but the titular Terminal Velocity death of Natasha Kinski's character is pretty hilarious.
Yeah.
Because that dummy bounces like a good 10 feet in the air. It's pretty great.
Yeah. But in terms of the actual plan, which is more 90s, I gotta go with Hacker, just because I feel like restoring the Soviet Union is more carryover from these.
Yeah. Yeah. But then again, using a random nerd to like do computer magic so you can bribe government agent, like, you can be an ex-government agent, because Gary Busey's ex-DEA, and he's using, like, the greatest hacker in the world, who's basically Michael Jeter, because Michael Jeter, if I'm remembering correctly, is also in the Green Mile as an animal lover in that as well, yes?
Yes.
Because he's taking care of these somehow stray cats that get on the yard in the prison that he's in. But it's essentially the same character, but without the mental disabilities that his character has in the Green Mile. But I don't know. I think I got to go with Drop Zone, because it's such a ridiculous bad guy premise that they have, that by comparison, bringing back the Soviet Union makes more sense. So just by virtue of it being insane is what gives it the more 90s feel.
Have you watched any of the more recent South Park episodes?
Actually, no. I'm at least a couple seasons behind on South Park.
Because there's a fairly recent episode where Mr. Mackey thinks that Russia's going to bomb the U.S. and he gets all nostalgic for, like, Cold War era dramas. And he's like, they're fighting the Russians. He boots up like his original Mac computer and is like putting in floppy disks to try and counter hack anything that's going on.
Of course.
I'm like, huh, why is that these two movies?
Right. Exactly. It's like the two movies plans put together. And because
also ends that episode with the if I can change, then you can change.
Go Rocky Four speech, I love it. But yeah, because the plan, I'm remembering this in Terminal Velocity, is that there's this it's like a little micro disc that they have, and it's in this like cylinder that Charlie Sheen has kept on him, and that cylinder has information on it. I'm trying to remember what's actually on it, because
it's like undercover DEA agents.
Oh, that's it. That's the one in Drop Zone, right?
Oh yeah, that's Drop Zone.
That's the Drop Zone.
Yeah. The Drop Zone plan is to get gold to the mafia.
That's what it is.
So that they can a coup against the new government.
Right, that's what it is. I was trying to think it made more sense than how ridiculous that plan is. Because there is that like truck full of gold at one point. But yeah, it's your standard knock list situation where it's always like the list of undercover agents will be exposed to the bad guys. But in that case, there's a little bit of a tweak in Drop Zone because once they're in the system, they say, they're in it permanently. So they can always intercept everything and get everything out when it needs to be, almost live streaming it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, Terminal Velocity is just like, you know, gold to Russia to restore restore order. But then at the end, I don't know.
That's almost a B plot because the A plot is Charlie Sheen trying to kind of get himself off of manslaughter charges.
Yeah, trying to prove that he didn't kill Natasha Kinski's character. But then, of course, at the very end, we do get that like Star Wars ceremony in Russia. He and Natasha Kinski's characters are getting like medals of honor from the Russian government. For what reason? I don't know why Charlie Sheen's getting one, but she definitely gets one because she's an actual KGB agent. He was just the skydiving teacher that was along for the ride.
We give Charlie Sheen honorary KGB status.
I think it's what they do. Ditch whatever gets honorary KGB status.
Now, does
it's
that so automatically funny. Make him a traitor to the U.S.?
I think so. I mean, it's crazy. Because the funniest thing about Drop Zone, and just at all, is that Charlie Sheen is borderline in a Hot Shots movie the whole time. He thinks he's in a Hot Shots movie, and the rest is just this Cold War thriller that's happening around him. And they just kind of mashed the two together and threw skydiving in there. It's insane. And also, did you notice who Broken Legs is? The actress that is credited as Broken Legs in Terminal Velocity. Did you catch her?
Sophia Chinas?
Yes.
Oh my God.
Who is she?
Shelley in the Crow?
She is Shelley in the Crow, yes. This is, I'm assuming, one of her few other roles where she actually speaks. Because I don't think she actually says anything on camera on The Crow. It's a lot of ADR that gets to her. But yeah, she plays Broken Legs Max. And then at the end, she's Broken Arms Max because somehow she's broken both of her arms as well. But yeah, I mean, for my vote, I think I got to go with Drop Zone. Drop Zone's got such an insane 90s premise, like skydiving hacker terrorists trying to expose undercover agents for money. It's such a crazy 90s premise. I can't get past it.
Yeah, I'm going Drop Zone.
Yeah, it's completely insane. I mean, and it's even funnier when you take into account that Busey is dialed up to Busey levels here, but there are times where, like, Wesley Snipes is, like, a little kid who just, like, learned something new and is so happy about it and so giddy that he can skydive successfully. Seeing Wesley Snipes, mm-hmm. like, jump around happy, like, as a good guy and not as Simon Phoenix...
It almost made me go, is that Eddie Murphy?
Exactly. It's so weird to see Wesley Snipes in that kind of a character because he's usually such like a cool dude. But I mean, it's, yeah, I got to go Drop Zone to that point. Drop Zone. What's next?
All right. So now we'll do evil team leader, then evil team.
Okay. So in this case, we are going Gandolfini versus Busey.
Is Gandolfini or is Christopher McDonald the leader?
Christopher McDonald is like the heavy. He's like the number one muscle guy. He's like the enforcer, basically.
Which is wild because like every time I see Christopher McDonald, I'm just like, Shooter McGavin.
Yeah, it's Shooter McGavin. Right, it's Shooter McGavin with blonde hair, and it's so weird because he's like beating dudes up and killing people. He's got a sometimes Russian accent. It's pretty intense. This character is like, wow, you just don't see Christopher McDonald as this type of character. But Gandolfini, oddly enough, more often than not in most of his roles, plays like a nice guy who's secretly a murderer. Or in the case of Tony Soprano, a well-known murderer, you know? But, yeah, it's... And then, yes, of course, on the other... In Drop Zone, of course, there's Gary Busey being Gary Busey. I mean, it's tough, but I don't think... Even combined, Christopher McDonald and Gandolfini, at the height of their powers, can equal Busey, even giving a half-ass job. And he is
full. I don't know about height of their powers. Like, Tony Soprano can go toe-to-toe with anyone.
Full Busey, though? Full 90s Busey, though? Early 90s Busey? I don't know. That is tough. That is a tough order.
That's true, especially if we're talking like cartoonish villain,
which is exactly what he is in this. It's
yeah, you gotta go with Busey.
I mean, I would have loved to see Gandolfini be going like to 12, like Christopher McDonald is. Like, McDonald is off the charts insane in this, so I would absolutely love to have seen him, Gandolfini, doing the same thing. Like, that would have been great. But it's just not there. He's just got to be like, kind of like.
No, I'm not even sure what Gandolfini going to 12 would be like.
I would have loved to see it, because the dude was such a great actor. He pulls up these roles really well, but I don't think we ever got to see like the true capabilities of James Gandolfini. Tony Soprano, yes. Gandolfini, but I feel like there was another side to him that was this character actor that you saw in all these movies that he was in, and there had to have been there. I feel like we could have gotten a really good, especially with the superhero craze, we could have gotten a really good Batman villain out of him. Like, Gandolfini would have been a great, he would have been a great Penguin, I think. Like, if we kind of make the Penguin like a menacing dude. Like, I know we got Colin Farrell in The Batman, but I feel like maybe Gandolfini could have been something similar, you know?
That's could have been I was thinking, who is Colin Farrell's boss in The Batman? The Penguin.
Turturro. Jonathan Turturro.
Yeah, what character was it, though?
Carmine Falcone.
Yeah. I feel like Gandolfini could have done that, because like, you basically just have to be a more evil Tony Snow type.
Yeah. I mean, he could have been, if Black Mask, if Roman Sionis was in the Batman's universe and not the Harley Quinn universe, and it wasn't Ewan McGregor. Like, Ewan McGregor does the great, like, campy version of Roman Sionis. Gandolfini could have given us the really terrifying version of Roman Sionis, I think. I think he could have done it. It would have been great, but, you know, unfortunately, obviously, we lost him way too soon. But he would have also been good as, I mean, of course, D'Onofrio was great. He was good as a Kingpin, too. Like, he would have been pretty good as Kingpin, like in the new MCU or whatever. They could have brought him in. He probably would have given some gravitas to it. Like, D'Onofrio. Like, D'Onofrio is actually putting effort out, and one of the few things that are watchable nowadays in the MCU, you know?
Are we just typecasting Tony Soprano as different Tony Sopranos?
I mean, but what else would he have done? Would he have been Batman? I mean, I don't think so.
No.
But it does. It sucks, because Gandolfini would have been so good. And of course, you know, It would have been great to see later stage Gandolfini, like an older Gandolfini versus Gary Busey, if he wasn't a completely insane person now.
Yeah. Now,
that would have been like a fun little, you know, experiment. But of course, you know, both Gandolfini is dead and Busey is grabbing butts at comic conventions nowadays. So
I do hate how many wins we have to give Gary Busey on. Like, we have to be objective, but I don't have to feel good about it.
Yeah, I mean, but you got it again. It's to separate the actor from the person. And the actor, early 90s, late 80s, early 90s, Gary Busey was on a different level than everybody else. He was phenomenal. And it's really kind of a shame that he couldn't keep that level of like, craziness and ended up having to do like pet judge or whatever the hell that thing was that he does.
Hey, don't you disrespect pet judge.
Yeah, whatever that show was. Yeah, pet court, whatever it is. But all right, so now we'll expand on to the crew. Now, Terminal Velocity doesn't quite have a crew so much as it's like Christopher McDonald and one other dude.
Yeah, and then like just some random KGB fodder.
So I think we should we should expand to the supporting cast as well. Because
I think that's fair. Yeah.
There is like that cast of characters that is in Charlie Sheen's like little skydiving crew that we briefly see. Like we do briefly see like this ragtag bunch of like skydiving dudes. And even in Drop Zone, we do get the other, the quote unquote good guy skydivers, where we get Swoop, who is an amazing supporting character if I've ever seen.
Swoop is so funny.
Such a great character. And Kyle Seacord.
He won't talk to you unless
he's jumped with you. The man will not talk to you. But yeah, Kyle Seacord is the actor's name. And
I wonder how that works in everyday life. Like, he goes to the grocery store. Like, he really needs to find something, but he can't ask for help because he's never skydived. Or does he have a network of like specific stores he goes to where he is skydived with at least one person on there?
He always brings like somebody with him that he talks to. He brings someone that he has jumped with him forever, and the person does his talking for him.
Did he learn sign language specifically for those occasion so he doesn't technically have to talk to them?
Right, yeah, it's no verbal communication with Swoop.
He brings paper and just writes what he needs now.
Right, yeah, that would be phenomenal. And all right, so then in Drop Zone, of course, we have Michael Jeter, we got Orin Nemec, which is Selkirk, and then I believe Luca Bertovici is Jagger. And then, where is it? There's like one other dude. Oh, there's the girl. There's Claire Stansfield, who's Tara, the woman, who looks a lot like Yancey Butler. Speaking of Yancey Butler, welcome back from Time Cop. And Claire Stansfield and Yancey Butler like almost look identical if you're just kind of looking at them real quick. And for a while in this movie, it took me a little longer than it should have to realize that it was not Yancey Butler. That was the bad woman that was on the bad guy's team.
Yeah. Again, even if we're going just full supporting cast, I think I'm going Drop Zone because of Swoop mostly.
It is mostly Swoop. Yeah, it's mostly Swoop. Yeah, it's mostly Swoop. And then it's funny because Busey's crew is almost like a dead meat crew of like version of the dead presidents or the ex-presidents in Point Break. And we get more time in Point Break with the gang because they took the time to actually kind of flesh a couple of these dudes out at least a little bit. We at least get names for them. But then in Drop Zone, they're just like the generic bad guys. And one of which Busey has to kill because, you know, he got made by a child on the plane. And somehow that gets back to him. Even though this girl barely talks to anybody.
And isn't, like, that's, what's her name's ex-husband in the story, isn't it, that gets killed?
It's like her ex-boyfriend or something like that. Yeah. And it's her ex-boyfriend because he was also with the bad girl, like the bad brunette chick. And that like was caused some like jealousy or something like that. It's a definitely drop thread that they just mentioned for some reason. And it's not important at all whatsoever.
Right.
I mean, it's definitely While Christopher McDonald in Terminal Velocity is great, and he is carrying a lot of
and I gotta bring up, like, the whole car sequence at the end of the movie is probably the best sequence out of both movies.
It is. It really is. Yeah, it's when they're trying to get her on the Natasha Kinski out of the trunk and all that, yeah. While it's falling. Yeah, it is pretty great. But I don't know. Again, it's Busey's got like an actual crew, because this is like a 90s criminal crew that, like, you got to have some characters. And of course, they're taken from the seedy ranks of the skydiving street culture, which, as everyone knows, was one of the main street gangs of the 90s. It was the Bloods, the Crips, the Latin Kings, and the Skydivers. That's what it was. They don't mention him a lot.
Like, Charlie Sheen, just going, like, if he was in that, like, he would just be used to going up against weird criminal organizations, the street racer skydivers.
Exactly. I mean, it's funny because, the way Charlie Sheen acts in Terminal Velocity, he's like the leader of, like, the ragtag silly crew. He's like Swoop's boss in Drop Zone. That would be like the equivalent of what he is. But there's only like two dudes in Terminal Velocity, but then again, they are played by Christopher McDonald, who's dialed up to 12, and another guy who's around. He's there.
Yeah. That's so right now Drop Zone has a clean sweep going.
Which, I mean, I gotta tell you, of the two, it's more of the actual, like, movie than Terminal Velocity was. Terminal Velocity, it seems like someone happened to watch the news one night, and there was a story about the KGB followed by a skydiving accident story. And someone was like, you know what? I'm going to write a movie about both of these.
All right. So last prompt before we do our beer check-in.
Sure.
So, Charlie Sheen somehow recruits Dom Toretto to help him out in Terminal Velocity.
Good.
And we'll say Wesley Snipes gets a new partner, John Utah.
In Drop John Zone. Utah replaces Malcolm Jamal Warner, his brother.
So these two movies are about a minute apart in runtime. If you add Dominic Toretto to the equation in Terminal Velocity, and you add Johnny Utah to the equation in Drop Zone, how much is that runtime decreasing because they're there and they get shit done even quicker?
I mean, man, Toretto. That's the thing. When you really look at the Fast and Furious movies, the plans are always done by everyone else on the crew. And then Dom's like the guy who drives the fastest in the plan.
But now consider, like, the whole just fighting through the KGB. Adding Dom Toretto to that equation just makes that go by so quicker. Because what do you think? You think Shooter McGavin's standing up to Dominic Toretto?
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's not possible, because then again, you got to take into account that Dom Toretto can't lose a fight. So it could be him versus Gandolfini for about a minute and a half.
We're doing Fast and the Furious 1 Dom Toretto.
Okay. Okay. So we have a man who has the ability to get his shoulder separated. We have a man who can get beat up a little bit. He can get in fights.
He's going to win, but he can get damaged.
He can get bloody a little bit. Yeah, okay. He's got some hair. But then on the other hand, we got Johnny Utah, who is stepping in to help a seasoned veteran agent. And really all he's got to do is just get shit done. He's got to blend in, which he could easily do with the skydivers, apparently. So I don't know. So
that's what I think. I think Johnny Utah more seamlessly fits into crew.
Yeah.
But I don't know if he expedites it that much, where Dominic Toretto takes over as your main fighter And I think he expedites, like, fighting through, like, I think he specifically makes action sequences go smoother because he's such a step up from Charlie Sheen, and Charlie Sheen was already winning.
Yeah, and Charlie Sheen's also already just kind of, like, along for the ride, obviously. Yeah. So anything that needs to be done, Natasha Kinski and her buddy, if they can't handle it, then, you know, Toretto gets involved. But then again, he could also provide the getaway car that they could have gotten away with a lot faster, as opposed to Charlie Sheen's Mustang that gets shot to hell. You know, but
it's... I also think it really matters on if we're talking end of Point Break Johnny Utah or start of Point Break Johnny Utah. Because I think end of Point Break Johnny Utah gets it, would win, but start of Point Break Johnny Utah would lose.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, but you gotta take into account that end of Point Break Johnny Utah has been tracking this crew for a long time, and he's just jaded and he's over it and he's sick of this shit and he's done at the end. Like, he is done. After he gets Busey, he's done. It's over with. True. He's done with it now. But I think to get Terminal Velocity a point, realistically speaking, Toretto would get some shit done for him. So yeah, I would go with Toretto.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. So Mike,
wouldn't that be wild? Utah gets brought into it. Like, he comes out of retirement. He's on his first partner after Pappas dies. And who's he going up against? Turns out, like, Pappas faked his own death.
Pappas' twin brother.
Yeah.
Who's out for revenge because some punk kid got his brother killed. Ex-DEA, it all works out. It all works out. Yeah, because then that would mean that Pappas' brother and Tom Sizemore work together, which that's a buddy cop movie I would have loved to see. Gary Busey and Tom Sizemore, that would have been fucking great. Oh my gosh, your beer?
Doing all right. I'm sipping it again. Porters aren't my favorite. Now, Black Hawk Brewing is in Oxford, Connecticut. Huh.
Sure.
I think this is my first beer from Connecticut. Nice. But if I had to pick a porter, this wouldn't be a bad choice. I'm sorry, a stout, not a porter. If I had to pick a stout, I don't think this would be a bad choice. And I think a little spoiler as to what my plan is coming up is I'm hoping to pick up some Irish Queen from Bonesaw, have that next week, and then maybe a black and tan of the two the week after.
There you go. There you go. And my Alien Church from Tyne Haynes Brewing. Ardmore, PA. It's very good. Sinks and drinks easy. All right, so Mike, what's next?
All right. So I think it's time to get in to the leading lady.
Okay. So we got Natasha Kinski versus Yancey Butler.
Yep.
And, man, this is tough because they're both actual characters, you know, they both have stories, they both have backgrounds, they both have ample screen time where they're not just, you know, naked or having sex or finding out.
They're not
the guy,
just constantly being the damsel in distress.
Right. They're actually like on the offensive most of the time, you know, at least making moves and whatnot. So basically it comes down to, would you rather, would you rather be a KGB agent or would you be a skydiver who happens to be good at being a skydiver?
Hey, don't. I've heard what skydiving instructors make, and I'm like, wow, I could have just jumped out of a plane a bunch of times rather than going to college.
Hey, man, you're risking your life every time. You might as well make a little bit of money doing it, you know? But, yeah, Yancey Butler is... It's funny because there's two people, Wesley Snipes is told, that can pull off the jump that Busey and his team pull off. Because apparently it's the impossible jump. He can't do it, apparently. But Yancey Butler could do it, and her character is unknown to us. We don't know it's her yet, but it's either referred to as the right way to do it or the dick-brained way to do it. G is the dick-brained option, and we don't know that that's her until at least a little bit into Wesley Snipes knowing her. So it's not like he meets her and like she's like, yeah, I'm the dick-brained one. He's like, no. He's like, oh, wait, you must be the dick-brained one. It's like, wait, why would that guy come up with that name for Yancey Butler? You know, why is she the dick-brained one?
Yeah.
It's funny because she's, again, but she's like the ragtag way. She's the best at what she does, but she doesn't play by the rules kind of thing.
And she's the, it's like, there's a proper technique, and then there's a person who's like, wow, that worked.
Yeah, kind of like just gets it done, you know, gut instinct takes over and they get shit done. Natural talent, I guess.
That's like, there's a right way to fix your car, then there's duct tape.
Right. Yeah, exactly. but then, of course, not Natasha Kinski. She has a whole plan where she fakes her death to throw Christopher McDonald and Gandolfini off her scent. She's going to somehow find gold, and she needs Carly Sheen to be part of her plan somehow. Yet, by virtue of the nature of her plan, she has to fake her death and frame him. So her plan,
so she can blackmail him essentially into playing along.
Her plan hinges on A, him wanting to find out that someone faked her death, that she faked her death, or two, him not immediately like dragging her somewhere and be like, she's alive, you know, that kind of thing. But her entire plan like hinges on him helping her. And I don't know. Yancey Butler's plan is basically just like kick ass and take names when she needs to. That's pretty much what her plan boils down to.
Though I do think Natasha Kinski gets points for being one of the main two, theoretically. Like, she just drags Charlie Sheen along for the ride.
Hey, I mean, to her credit, it is all her plan, basically. It's Charlie Sheen really is just a supporting character at a certain point. And
that is kind of funny. Terminal Velocity, it's like, what if this movie followed the supporting character?
Well, it's kind of like the bait and switch that, like, you know, men's rights activists claim for Mad Max Fury Road. It's like, oh, this is a Mad Max movie. No, it's all about the woman and her story. It's like, well, yeah, Furiosa, it does kind of become one of the main characters in a movie, but I wouldn't, it's her story for a little while, you know, but it's not like a full bait and switch. It's not like, oh, Tom Hardy's here, bye-bye, see you later. He's in the movie. Like, he's there the whole time. But by virtue of this being, Terminal Velocity being a 90s movie, Charlie Sheen is obviously the one that you sell the movie with. And then when you're actually watching the movie, he's there and he's basically just the comedic relief. And she is really the main hero of our story.
Yancey Butler is kind of like, is basically a more unhinged version of Tyler from Point Break.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that, yeah. Except Tyler's, like, skill level would have to be Bodie's, you know? Yeah. She would have to be Bodie's because Yancey's the best. Like, she is the best at what she does, except for Swoop. Swoop is, like, really, I think, the best. But just because he's crazy, that she is defaulted to as the best because she's, you know, not insane.
We'll talk to people she hasn't jumped with before.
She can have human interactions with people, yeah. It's fun. But, and also, both of these actresses, neither of them is really a love interest. Natasha Kinski becomes a quote-unquote love interest, like, almost by default at the end, because Charlie Sheen thinks they're going to have sex at one point, but that's not going to happen. And Yancey Butler and Wesley Snipes are never, like, together. They're partners. Yeah, they're just partners. But I would, I mean, I definitely got to lean fancy in this one because she gets shit done. She's put into a situation that she didn't start, and she does see it through to the end by contributing, you know, a good amount.
Yeah, that's, I would agree. No, I think it's hilarious at the end where they just both come up with their guns to their head. I'm like, this is more of Wesley Snipes and Gary, where the only time she's a damsel in distress in the movie is like Gary Busey gets her for the last showdown.
Yeah, yeah.
And even then, like, she's a damsel in distress for about 30 seconds, and then him and Wesley Snipes come up with guns pointed at each other's heads, and I'm like, it seems like the first person to pull the trigger wins this situation. So why are neither of you doing that?
Right, exactly. It turns out they're both empty, you know. But it's the face off, you know, the shot. But yeah, I mean, if I'm down for more political intrigue, I'm going to go with Natasha Kinski as the KGB agent. But she really, I don't know.
This is the first one where it's been a relatively fair fight for good reasons on the female leads.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and like, Shiginsky's plan isn't great because it requires her to fake her death, framing a man for manslaughter, and then that man trying to hunt her down and prove that she didn't actually die. He very well could have been like, you know what? She's splattered all over the place. There's no way to positively ID her. I'm out of here. Like, it's like, I'm done. My skydiving school is closed. I'm going to go do whatever I got to do. I'm going to go back to, you know, being a gymnastics teacher. Because, again, we haven't mentioned this. Charlie Sheen's character is a former Olympic gymnast turned skydiver who would have gotten gold in Russia had we not boycotted those Olympics. And his Russian gold medal at the end is the honor from the KGB. Now that I'm talking about it, this is a more and more 90s story than the knock list of hacking skydivers.
Yeah. Yeah, think about it. Like, the hacking isn't, like, well, that's the main. So the plan, the hacker doesn't play a big role in.
It's so crazy. It's just not fun. All right, so what's next?
All right. I think we go leads and then finish with which movie takes skydiving too seriously.
Okay. So we got, obviously, Charlie Sheen versus Wesley Snipes. I mean, by the nature of the two movies that they're in, Wesley Snipes is in an action movie and treating it like an action movie. Even though
he is doing his best Eddie Murphy impression.
Yeah, it's kind of like Axel Foley Snipes. He's actually like seeing this through as how a cop would do these things. He would ingratiate himself with the culture. He's like Black Johnny Utah. Would skydiving.
I did. One of the scenes that got me, it's like when he lands and Swoop still walks away. And he's like, I thought now that I jump with him. And the guy's like, well, maybe it doesn't count what you just did as a jump. He's like, I'm pretty sure there's one way to jump and I just did it. And I think I did a good job.
Right. Exactly. Like, there's different degrees of falling. But then, of course, Charlie Sheen is in this, like, Cold War dramedy. At least he thinks so. He thinks he's in a comedy. The rest of the movie thinks they're in a drama with a little action in it. But, I mean, Charlie Sheen is, again, the 1994 Charlie Sheen, good-looking dude, charismatic as hell. You know, he's just a great on-screen presence. But the only thing I get from his character is Topper Harley skydiver. That's all I get. Whereas Wesley Snipes is like action hero Wesley Snipes, you know, I'm avenging my brother. I'm trying to find these hacking skydivers and figure this shit out, like figure out the mystery. But
way to go, sir. I love at the end when he's like, stop that dude, stop him. And then Swoop just lands on him.
Swoop lands on Michael Jeter, you know, oh man, and Wesley Snipes kind of does, even though Sheen thinks he's in a comedy. You can tell Wesley Snipes kind of feels like he's having more fun. You know, he's having more fun with this silly ass skydiving action movie.
Yeah, that's true. And Wesley Snipes just kind of works for them. He just fits it.
He's the best. I mean, Wesley Snipes is...
Even like when he goes in and beats the dudes up in the bathroom and stuff.
Oh, yeah. They were beating up Swoop and he just kicks their ass. Yeah. It's, even after that, Swoop still, like, doesn't really talk to him because he hasn't jumped with him at that point. So Swoop, if anything, is a man of his word. He sticks to his principles. He will not talk to you. Even if you save his life, he will not talk to you unless he's jumped with you. Swoop. Little old Swoop. But, all right, so now the big question. Which of these movies takes skydiving too seriously? And I gotta tell you, it's Drop Zone.
Yeah.
The Drop Zone takes the sport of skydiving so seriously.
Like, when I think about what's it called? Like, Velocity. I'm like, yeah, Charlie Sheen, like, that's his job. And people are investigating him, but they're not, like, investigating him because he's skydiving. They're investigating him because they think he has shady business practices and got someone killed.
Right. I mean, the skydiving investigations are happening before the movie starts because his skydiving school is in D.C. when we first meet him. And his, we forgot how we are introduced to Charlie Sheen's character. We are introduced to his character. He is skydiving. He parachutes into like a public gathering of sorts.
Yeah.
He's wearing assless chaps, or what we find out is a fake ass on it. In assless chaps. And he thinks that he is dropping into a bachelorette party.
Which, where does one get that? Does is skydiving stripper an actual job?
For Charlie Sheen, it is. Magic Mike does not cover that side of the culture. The skydiving stripper. And it's pretty great. That in the world of cinematic and fictional stripper jobs, usually it's like cop shows up to fake arrest somebody at a house. It's dressed as fireman, something like that. Skydiving, like assless chaps cowboy. That's a good one. That is a good one to have as your stripper career, your stripper character, I should say. But in Drop Zone, it's almost as if, and again, we keep saying Point Break because it's almost the same thing. Get the cult.
If it was Wesley Snipes infiltrating Gary Busey's crew,
it'd be Point Break. And because we even get like the subculture of skydiving, like there is the big gathering in Washington, D.C. where they suspend the no-fly zone over the White House so you can skydive over it. I'm going to plead ignorance here, but I'm going to confidently say that that's not a thing that happens.
I'm going to say that maybe one military plane with a lot of restrictions around it can fly the skydivers over.
Right.
That the airspace itself does not become unrestricted. I'm going to guess they make an exception for one plane.
Right. Yeah, and that plane is like armed guards. Has been through all of the security checks. They're going through security checks as they're flying, you know, constant security checks and cavity searches for these guys. But yeah, it's almost like with the original Fast and the Furious and Race Wars. There's almost like skydiving wars at some point because there's like the team jumps that they do and they're like graded as a team and there's some sort of competition and there's that bald dude like with the shaved head that's like the young guy that's doesn't fix engines right or something. He's like the Jesse of the crew, but he's not technically skilled. But he's like gotta step in when Wesley Snipes doesn't show up. There's a weird side plot to this movie that could be its own movie It could be like a kid's sports movie kind of thing, where like they gotta win the big skydiving jump in order to gain like save the rec center or something. But it's
Stand Darsh.
right, exactly. It's so glossed over, but you can tell that someone did put the time into coming up with all this stuff to the point where I could almost see, like with Point Break, where they tried to study the culture of skydiving and accurately depict it on screen as Gary Busey straps Michael Jeter to his chest and skydives into buildings to have him hack them.
Which
Like,
is, it's kind of wild that they don't make a note that any of the elite skydivers are like former military airmen or something.
none of these people have like the quote unquote professional training that there are elite paratroopers out there that they could have very easily given this backstory to these criminals. Barry
In
Busey is
fact,
ex-DEA.
I think it was something like 60% driving instructors are former military, because that's the only way that you get enough jumps in.
Yeah, and the technical know-how, the safety precautions, like anything that can go wrong, you're probably trained to deal with it, like on the way down. Obviously, the quick thinking, because how fast is the average skydive? Like you've been, Mike, how long did it take you to hit the ground?
It takes you generally free fall for somewhere around 30 seconds, and then actually descending is about like 30 seconds to a minute of free fall, and then probably 10 to 15 minutes of parachuting.
Okay.
I could be wrong, because the amount of time while you're in the air is definitely like when you are free falling, that feels like some time.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
That's
Okay.
also any t anyone like they don't show earpieces in, because like if you're talking while you're free falling, guess what? No one fucking hears you.
Yeah, that's the Hollywood magic where you can have these full conversations in the sky as you're free falling. All right. So, according to the Chattanooga Skydiving Company, how long does a skydive last? A typical skydive lasts 5 to 6 minutes, with approximately 50 seconds of that spent in free fall and 4 to 5 minutes on the parachute ride down. And of course, how long all this goes for depends on factors like altitude, weight, and equipment used, that kind of thing. So, it seems as if 6 minutes or so is probably your average, let's say 5 to 6 minutes, let's
I
say.
was probably a little bit off with the parachuting, but about 50 seconds free fall is.
Yeah. So I'm sure, as we see in plenty of sky movies that feature skydiving, something can go wrong and you need to be able to react to it. Paratroopers, I'm sure, are the most highly trained to deal with these things. Not just the skydiving teacher who's been doing it for a while.
Well, that's like even a lot of the like obviously for the tension purposes, you show them free falling for very long times.
Oh yeah, we get there's a couple of these jumps that if you were to really look at how far they've been falling, their parachutes would not have time to open, before they were
That's even
smushed.
yeah, that's like even if they do fully open, you're not decelerating enough where you're not like you're gonna break your legs.
Yeah, you're not hitting. It's not like slamming on the brakes on a car. You're not
Even a
automatically.
perfect parachute down, like you gotta land a certain way or you're breaking your legs.
Which again, like in terminal velocity, like Shirley does, like Shelley from the Crow, she's broken legs max. So clearly, she has fallen wrong. And as we see in Point Break, Johnny Utah busts his leg again when he falls skydiving. But yeah, so a lot of these can go wrong. But again, no one, even in the movie where the ex-DEA agent is skydiving, Do they even say that the others are even special forces? The others are basically just skydivers on the crew. And it's like, what was the chance right there? That was the chance to explain that this is an all-star team of ex-disgruntled military that are skilled enough to do this. But no, it's they have carbon fiber parachutes that can get through metal detectors. And they've just been jumping like that for a while, you know.
Does it even make sense that the fiber parachutes can get through metal detectors? Am I incorrect in thinking that carbon fiber is in fact metal?
I mean, it's not metal in the sense that we are shown in the movie, that like the steel rings or whatever, but and it's also, I think one of them is like cloth or whatever, which I'm pretty sure would rip with a certain amount of tension. Like,
aren't there plastics that are strong enough that you could probably just, you know, plastic?
Yeah, I mean, it's carbon fiber can be strong, but yeah, I don't know if it's skydive strong. But I mean, again, but which of these movies take skydiving too seriously? It's the movie that features skydiving more. And Terminal Velocity really is just a literal, no pun intended, jumping off point is skydiving. And then we get the rest of the movie, which is just KGB drama, you know, Cold War drama.
Yeah.
But Drop Zone, to its credit, at least makes the movie about skydiving, you know, which is even crazier because, man, they take it so seriously. And the fact that they take it so seriously makes the fact that we see like the gang, street gang-esque culture of skydiving makes it so much funnier.
Like, you have a guy named Swoop, you gotta take it seriously. Unless you're the Philadelphia Eagles, you can't have a guy named Swoop and not take it seriously. Right.
Exactly. It's like, what are we doing here? Like a tone. Like, I get it. It's a movie from 1994. It's inherently silly. But
silly things were made in 1994. This movie, my brother, like...
Wow. Drive by on Dan. But, yeah,
which
I mean...
it's funny because I'm absolutely the sillier of the siblings.
It's true. That much is true. But, all right, so I think hands down, Drop Zone is the one that
wins. Yeah, for sure.
We really only gave a freebie to Terminal Velocity in a category that we just fucking made up.
That I thought, a category I thought was funny.
Right.
For anyone who thinks I go over these categories with Ross before the podcast, I do not.
None. When I asked Mike how we're breaking these down at the beginning of the episode, I am legitimately asking him how we're breaking these down.
Now, sometimes I have some great ideas. Like, I feel like Dark City versus The Matrix. I'm like, okay, there's some cool things we could actually compare. With this, I'm like, what if we put Dom Toretto in the car falling from the plane movie?
What if Toretto versus Utah? Right. So, Mike, before we talk about what we're doing next week, where can people find us on the internet?
You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, and just about anywhere you get your podcasts from, thanks to Spotify Podcasts. You also find us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at Happy Hour Films Podcast.
Perfect. Now, next week, we are kind of going back a couple weeks to The President is in Danger. This is the genre that we have entered now. The President is in Danger. Except we're going to fast forward to the late aughts. I think it was the early aughts with these. The late early aughts. Right before 2010-ish era.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the President could be kidnapped. And a gruff action hero, a pretty boy action hero, had to save him. So we have White House Down versus Olympus Has Fallen. And one of them features Jamie Foxx. The other of them features Gerard Butler. I don't know if that's the same movie. One of them's Channing Tatum. The other is Aaron Eckhart. Again, I don't know if I just described the same movie. I don't know.
Yeah.
These somehow, again, like Deep Impact and Armageddon, these movies somehow had the exact same idea and came out in the exact same year. It's kind of insane when we go through this and we look at these things and we go, wow. Hollywood took two swings and hoped one of them hit, you know? Next week, though, it's really going to be kind of fun because these movies, I think, are just dumb, stupid fun. I hope they're not trying to actually do something and be serious about any of this nonsense. Because I mean,
one of them is dumber and stupider, but...
Oh, yeah. I mean, let's be serious. Gerard Butler is the star in one of them. So that one's going to be silly.
Yeah.
So until next week when we talk about the president being kidnapped, I have been Ross Bacon.
I've been Mike McGuigan.
I will see you guys next time. So long.